Blog Talk Radio.
I'm already laughing because of our guest. Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Options Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, brought to you this week by GuardiansOfThePeople.com. And this is the show for May 22nd, 2011. Good morning, Sherry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. I hear you, Lita. As always, Lita makes us laugh.
We might as well just dive right in.
Silly.
And say today's guest is Lita Lee, you know, PhD,
who has an infectious laugh.
Biochemist and Zumba enthusiast. All right, you might even be more than an enthusiast, but I think you're, you know, would you consider yourself
an addict?
A Zumba enthusiast? An addict. There we go. All right, wow. We're comfortable with our addictions here. On
there are some good addictions. Enzymes
are
good addictions.
I thought that was true. That's a whole other show. I think there are actually some addictions that are not bad, evil, addictions. I mean,
it's called divine obsession.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Oh, that's good. Ooh, there's a T-shirt there. Today we're
what?
Say that again, Sherry.
I'm addicted to breathing.
That, see? Exactly. You know, how bad is that?
I'm addicted to health.
Yes.
And evidently, I'm addicted to talking. So we all have something. And today it's all going to come together because today we're talking about allergies. Tis the season. And,
yes.
You know, what can we say? Allergies. Yikes.
Take enzymes.
Okay. Let's dive right into that. I was asking you backstage, you know. Sherry, did you have, before we dive right into the deep end of the pool, did you have an allergy?
I wanted Lita to define what is an allergy.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, there are two. Well, I wanted to define what enzymes are too, but an allergy, actually, I'm not allowed to say that word because it's supposed to be a medical problem, but it's not.
Yeah.
There are two kinds of allergies, those that result from poor digestion, and there's many reasons for that. And then there's environmental allergies like, you know, hay fever. I'm allergic to my cat. I'm allergic to my husband. Oh, no. Anyway, there's those two kinds, and enzymes can reverse both. It's that simple. Whatever you don't digest becomes a toxin, which is called an allergy. And in my book, The Enzyme Cure, which is out of print, not my fault, there are 36 conditions that respond to enzymes. There is an enzyme link and a hormonal link to all health problems. No exception. And I can go into that, but would you like me to tell you what an enzyme is?
Yes.
Okay. There are three classes of enzymes. But first, what do enzymes do? Enzymes do work. There are plant enzymes, which is what you can take as a supplement to improve your digestion. We don't make plant enzymes. And there's seven of them that I use in my formulas to pre-digest food in the stomach. There are about 22 pancreatic enzymes elaborated from the pancreas, but guess what? They don't work in the stomach, so they don't enhance pre-digestion. Only plant enzymes do. And then there are hundreds of thousands of metabolic enzymes that do the work of living, talking, breathing, behaving, misbehaving. Anything that happens in your body is modulated by an enzyme, and this includes even dying. Everything has an enzyme behind it. So that's those are the three classes of enzymes. And the enzymes that I use are plant enzymes. We don't make them. We do make enzymes, the pancreatic enzymes, but they don't work in the stomach. And of all the enzymes I use, our bodies do not make cellulase. So there's cellulase in all the enzymes I use. So there's protease for protein, lipase for fat, amylase for carbohydrates, disaccharidases, that's two sugar molecules hooked together, but you got to chop them up into monosaccharides. And there's lactase, sucrase, and maltase. Lactase for milk, sucrase for sugar, and maltase for the sugars in breads, maltose. And then there's cellulase. So those are all the enzymes that I use, and you can visualize these enzymes. For example, protease, think of them as being Pac-Men. They go chomp, chomp, chomp. Well, they actually don't make noise, but what they do is break up the molecule into little tiny pieces so that we can absorb them. If we don't do that, they don't get absorbed in healthy bits. They get absorbed as big chunks. And then the body has to detoxify them. And there are actually measurable signs that occur with poor digestion. Anytime you cook a food, even if it's organic, you can get these signs. In fact, the whole immune system is mobilized when you eat cooked foods, which is why raw foods are good, but not all raw foods are good. I'll get into that in a minute. And this immune system mobilization, this was written many, many years ago, is called leukocytosis. In other words, the white blood cells increase after you eat certain foods, worse after some, you know, like byproducts, deli meats and stuff like that. If you ate a bologna sandwich and then measured your white blood count, the doctor would think you had food poisoning because it gets that high. Organic foods that are cooked not at exorbitant temperatures bring about a mild leukocytosis, but bad digestion also produces a very toxic substance called indican, which is not recognized by many allopaths. And I do a test that actually measures the form of indican. It's a toxic form of indole, and the body has to detoxify it through the liver, but the liver can't detoxify it. So I see it actually in the urine, and I call it indicanuria. And I do a 24-hour urine to determine all these little things that you can and can't digest. And I've had...
how do you spell indican?
I-N-D-I-C-A-N. Indican. In indicanuria, it just says U-R-I-A. That means it's in the urine. So, you know, hematuria, that's blood. Indicanuria, that's indican. Glucosuria, that's glucose. And I do a chem stick, but it's based on a 24-hour urine, so I see a lot more than the people who do random samples see. Okay? Anyway, the higher the indican, the sicker the person. However, totally poor digestion of sugar, I mean disaccharidases, it kind of hinders the indican test, and I'll see zero for indican, and I write off know that they're either eating too much sugar or they're not digesting what they're eating. And I can usually tell which that is by the nail 'em to the wall dietary survey. I ask, what do you eat? Is it organic? How many times a day, a week, or a month? And on there's two pages of that. I can really tell what the problem is when I do that. Some people lie. I didn't eat that.
I bet. I think
that was a mistake. Just cross it out.
Is that actually the name on the top of the survey, the Nail 'em to the Wall Diet Survey? I love that as an idea.
No, but I tell, how did you know that? I say, I'm psychic.
I think
it does nail them
excellent.
To the wall. And then I fool them again by asking them what they ate during the urine, because the urine test is 100% determined by what you ate during the urine. Doesn't that make sense? Oh, well, you know, I decided to junk out. Just wanted to see the effect of junk foods. But like if you're a vegan and you eat a hamburger during the urine, I'm not going to see what's wrong with you. So I have people, I beg them, eat your normal diet. No matter how horrible it is, I will not judge you. I'll just make a few dietary corrections. And then 2 months later, hopefully, I do another urine, and I can see the effect of the program. The first urine test is like a baseline test, and it tells me what their worst problems are. Then they change their diet. You can, you know, by changing a diet, you can correct a lot of nutritional deficiencies for which people take vitamins. And I tell people, buy organic foods. Because if you don't, you're going to be getting enzyme poisons. One of the worst is genetically modified organisms. And 70% of commercial foods have genetically modified organisms. And these organisms don't stay in the field in which they were put. And I remember there was a very famous case in Canada. This poor farmer was raising an organic crop. And some of these GMO seeds floated over into his farmland, and Monsanto sued him for stealing the seeds, and they won. And I think it was reversed, but it took the farmer many, many years to reverse it.
Yeah, it put him completely out of business, just
right.
about. But
right.
they did eventually reverse it, the usual deal.
Right.
Yeah.
After he's living under the bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but anyway, so people say, why do I need enzymes? Well, people don't eat organic foods. And by the way, you can't digest GMOs or pesticides and stuff like that. But all of those chemicals poison enzymes. Most poisons work by poisoning enzymes. And this includes drugs. For example, the statin drugs like Lipitor, they poison the enzyme that makes cholesterol. So you die with no memory and no liver, but you got low cholesterol. And then there are common things that they graciously add to our water, like fluoride, that poisons over 100 enzymes. And people wonder why they have premature aging and wrinkling. Well, fluoride, picture collagen, which is a good food by the way, because it's very pro-thyroid. Picture your collagen like a stepladder. Well, fluoride comes along and it rips all the rungs off the ladder, and then there's nothing to hold your skin together, so it gets wrinkled. And there's this book called The Fluoride Dilemma, and it's about a little country in Europe, I can't remember the name, and they have natural fluoride in the water, but it doesn't matter if it's natural or we put it there, it's still toxic. And these men are like 30 years old, but they look like 80, and they're all leaning up against the wall with canes. And there's been many, many epidemiological studies on fluoride. So why do we use it? And here's a question you should ask your dentist. If you eat regular food, I don't eat regular food. In fact, I don't do regular anything. But if you eat regular food, you get 6 milligrams of fluoride a day. So how come anybody has cavities? How come if we're already getting 6 milligrams of fluoride a day? And around 75-79% of the cities here are fluoridated. Well, they don't fluoridate most of Portland, so guess what? Teachers hand out fluoride pills to these little kids.
Mm.
Really makes sense, doesn't it?
Yikes.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Makes me slightly nauseous.
That's a symptom that can come from poor digestion, and I have an enzyme for that.
Thank you. Now, I want to jump back, because I know we'll go off on this, but I want to go back for a moment to the two comments about allergies, where you talk about the sort of foundation or two kinds of allergies, the poor digestion versus environmental. And I have a question about, have you ever dealt with anybody who has, in air quotes, poor digestion, has perfect digestion and yet still has environmental allergies?
I have never seen a person in 25 years and over 4,000 people that didn't have allergies, period. To foods, they say, oh, I have no allergies. Well,
right.
I'm looking at your urine, you can't digest sugar, you can't digest fat,
yeah.
And you're sneezing. What's your problem?
Yeah.
No, there's no such thing as perfect digestion, and it's because we eat junk food, we microwave it, we fluoridate it, and we GMO it, and that's why we have allergies. And the environment, you see, if you sniff some hay fever pollen, you know. It's supposed to be detoxed through the lymphatic system. But what happens when the lymphatic system keeps detoxing, detoxing, detoxing? Boom, it goes on strike, and then the allergen is dumped right back into the blood. Now, I'm talking about environmental allergens. I prefer to call them sensitivities, whether it's a cat or hay fever or whatever it is. that I have a formula called KDY. It's a lymphatic drainage formula. It helps the kidneys dump these allergens. So I give every single person that comes to me KDY because I know that enzymes digest more than just food. They also detoxify the body. And a lot of people, if they don't take kidney, I have other enzymes. Amylase is a great antihistamine. And a lot of people will get a rash because all this poison stuff is being detoxed. And it has to come out the skin, the feces, or the urine. And I'd prefer the urine and the feces, but I have a lot of people get rashes, so I use a lot of amylase. And it's called Derm because it's also for rashes, hives, herpes, bug bites, bee stings, poison oak, and poison ivy. And you can recover from any one of those guys in an hour or two just by taking antihistamines. Not drug antihistamines, but amylase. And to give you an example, my little 3.5-year-old Precious, granddaughter going on 15, got stung by yellow jackets. She's very precocious, won't keep her mouth shut, and she didn't get it from my daughter.
I was going to say, I think it's another generation in there, possibly.
Right. Anyway, so she came home screaming from the park, and I gave her homeopathic, which is always great, but I gave her Derm, and she loves her enzymes. She sucked them into her lungs 3 times, because she bends down and tries to lick them. And she'll say, I'm sick, I need my homeopathics. So anyway, I gave her this amylase and squirted the homeopathic on her little bumps. And in 1 hour, she was free. In 1 hour. So that enzymes are magic. They do work inside the body, the work of digestion, treatment of chronic and acute conditions, and detoxification. They're really magic. And of all the things that you can do, enzymes, they're very pure, and they have the least side effects. The things that people call side effects are usually due to them taking the wrong enzyme. For example, if you have an ulcer or GERD or reflux, you cannot take a high protease digestive enzyme because it will exacerbate that condition. But see, to me, that's not a side effect. It's a contraindication. And because these enzymes have pre-digested foods in them, people that are normally allergic to the food, they don't even know they're eating it. For example, I have an enzyme called ADR, and it's very, very high in sucrase, and it has brewer's yeast pre-digested. And this enzyme is a very popular one because it's for people who are moody, irritable, angry, violent, stressed out, panicked, depressed, throw the telephone at your wife, and can't sleep. And people get afraid. They say, oh, my gosh, I can't digest yeast. Well, that's fine. It's already been digested. That's why I like enzymes. Everything that I'm using in these enzymes is pre-digested. And so I don't get very many complaints unless they take the wrong stuff. And people try to weasel the wrong stuff out of me, which is why I've blocked my website, because I don't like complaints. I don't want these magical enzymes to get a bad rap.
What do you mean block your website? I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, but you go to buy an enzyme and you'll get a pop of it and it says, put your passcode. And then they'll email me.
Very clever, yeah.
I want a passcode.
Yeah.
And I say, well, tell me what you want and why. If I agree with you, I'll give it to you.
Yeah. I think that's... Go ahead,
what?
Sherry.
Lita, you talked a bit ago about vegans. Is there special enzymes that they need? Are they punishing themselves by eating only vegan foods?
It's the worst health problem that I see in over 25 years of doing this. Vegans have the most health problems. Why? Because protein is required to carry calcium, to make thyroid hormone, to make eye phototransmitters, to make everything in the body. And a lot of people are vegan for, you know, philosophical reasons. Now, I'm against animal cruelty, which is why I only eat organic, grass-fed, soy-free, happy animals. But a lot of people are vegans because they can't digest protein, and it's so easy to fix. I wrote recently an article on the importance of protein. It's in a very recent newsletter. And I put a lot of history in that newsletter. There was a very famous dentist, Weston Price, and he traveled to 11 countries, and he really thought plant foods were superior to animal foods, and he tried and tried and searched for a plant-eating tribe, and he couldn't find one. And the ones that didn't have access to much animal protein were not healthy. And so this, to me, you can't argue with that kind of history, you know, what people eat. The healthiest, most long-lived people on the planet are the ones who eat a lot of ripe fruits, especially tropical, and a lot of animal protein. And what kind of protein? Well, it depends on where they live. If they live near the ocean, more fish. If they live, you know, where there's no water, they eat more beef or bison or lamb. So it depends on where you live. And also, it's really important to eat organic foods, because all problems, all toxins, all bad foods, all junk foods, even microwaving foods, they work by killing enzymes. GMOs kill enzymes. And you can't die. What?
Is there any plants that have protein, like nuts or?
Well, their protein is very poor. So if I get a vegan, and, you know, I have worldwide clients. I have people who are Buddhists who won't touch meat. I tell them, well, eat, and I try to get them to eat some cheese or drink some milk or eat eggs. If they don't do that, I say, well, then eat a lot of ripe organic fruits and take a potato with white meat. You know, I don't care what color the skin is. And juice that potato. In the juice is the protein. There's not much of it, but if you remove the fiber from the potato, then cook it, and you have to cook it in a double boiler because it burns easily, and it just tastes like mashed potatoes. I've never done that because I'm a potato freak. But so that's good. Also, sprouting foods is good. However, there are some foods that are not good under any conditions, and people are going to hang up on me when I say this, but seeds and nuts and nut butters and wheat and rye and barley are the worst starches you can eat. Why? Because they're all high in gluten and omega-3 and 6 oils, which I call PUFA, which means polyunsaturated fatty acids. Not only that, but raw seeds and nuts are doubly poisonous because they have protease inhibitors, which was put in them by God so that to protect them from being eaten. And of all these raw foods, if you sprout a seed, you get cyanide, various amounts of cyanide. If you eat 100 grams of alfalfa sprouts, it can be fatal. So many people think they're eating gluten-free and they're living on alfalfa sprouts and seeds and nuts and nut butters.
Getting questions from from my email. People want to know if they need to sign up for your newsletter or can they just grab it off your site?
They can do both. Now, the neat thing about signing up on my mailing list, I don't send articles, I send links. I've just posted this outrageous blog on GMOs, and I give them a link, and they go to the website and get the link. But you can go to my website. I have 12 sections. If you click on the articles on the right-hand column, you'll get all 12 sections, and you pick the section you want. But you won't get announcements like I've written 4 different articles on radiation nutrition protection, but only the people that had signed up on my mailing list got the newsletters. And so I got bombarded by, oh, help me, what do I do, what do I do? And I said, sign up on my newsletter, mailing list.
We're looking at your website now.
Isn't it pretty?
It is.
Pretty. So I want to jump from I'll jump right into one of my other favorite pet peeves among the vegan and the Kellogg-funded 30 years ago, you know, anti-fat campaign. And let's talk about the... that's a whole another show.
Yeah.
I think Kellogg and, you know, Monsanto actually are the same company, just spelled differently. And let's talk about oil. Let's talk about the ever, you know, evil, nasty, bad, and I don't mean particular oils. I just mean how there's all this, and there's still, you know, it is coming around. You see a few leading edge articles where people are saying, wow, fats are good. You need to make cholesterol. So let's talk about fats, because everybody, the only thing that people think are more evil than eating meat is eating of fats. Actually, more people, I think, eating fat is evil than eating, you know, any kind of flesh.
You know, I've been called a witch for promoting the use of white sea salt. So nothing surprises me.
Right.
However, fats. There are good fats and bad fats. And the bad fats are the omega-3 and 6 oils. They're very toxic omega-3 oils like fish oils or krill oil. They're the most toxic oils on earth. I have a lot of articles on this on my website and in my book, The Enzyme Cure. But my website's more up to date than the book. And Dr. Ray Peet, www.raypeat.com, has spent a lifetime writing on the health effects of PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids. The healthiest oil that people can eat is the oil that God put in mother's milk, which is coconut oil. So I use coconut oil exclusively in my cooking. Well, some people say, well, I don't like the taste. I said, too bad. No, I don't say that. I say, well, you can get expeller pressed coconut oil, which has no taste. So what's your problem? You don't have to refrigerate it. It's saturated. It doesn't get rancid. You can cook at much higher temperatures. I don't recommend cooking with olive oil. It's not unhealthy, but cooking with it is because it's partly unsaturated. Also, butter burns easily. So I use coconut oil exclusively, and I love the taste. It gives everything I cook an exotic taste. And I have recipes. They aren't on my website because I keep adding to it. But anybody can email me and say, you know, send me your recipes. And I'm always updating them. So what I do is take a crummy recipe full of PUFA and Splenda and, you know, all those guys, and I just change the bad guys to the good guys. And it's yummy. And people love my recipes. It's yummy, and people, you can actually lose weight by eating coconut oil. Coconut oil is extremely pro-thyroid. And Dr. Bruce Fife, he decided to fight the soybean industry wars, which were promoting soybean oil, by telling people you can't eat coconut oil, it'll kill you. And there were millions of dollars worth of ads and papers, you know, coconuts with that looked like bombs, you know. And so he did research on it, and he's written 11 books on coconut oil. And two other good products that are great to use are coconut water or juice. It looks like water. And coconut milk. And all coconut products are organic. But see, the people who make the coconut are poor, so a lot of them don't put that label on because it costs money. But my favorite, I got to throw this out, my favorite brand of coconut water tastes like you stick a straw in the young green coconut is Amy and Brian's, and it comes from Thailand. And I buy 3 cases a week. That ought to give you a hint. Of course, I have a son. Whenever he opens his car door, 10 cans of coconut water fall out. But they have 3 kinds, and my favorite is the chunky kind. There are literally chunks of coconut in the water. Then they have plain, and they have a lime added to it. It's the best I've ever tasted. But any kind of coconut oil is very healthy because it's so isotonic. You can stick it in your veins, not the chunks, but, you know, the coconut water. And it can actually cure people who have cholera, because the reason they die is because they're so dehydrated. And it's too bad people don't know things like that. And I even heard an anecdotal story from Dr. Fife's books that a woman had coconut water accidentally splashed into her eye. She had a cataract. She was almost blind. And overnight, the cataract went away. But I would only recommend a fresh coconut, not, you know, not what we buy in stores here. So go to Hawaii.
Well, also, I did some research on the Amy and Ben's, and their coconut water comes in cans. And I contacted them and found that they also went out of their way to line their cans with a non-BPA product, which a lot of canned products are lined with BPA, which is nasty stuff.
That's right, and it's in plastic bottles too. Not only that, but their cans are made of steel. Only the top is aluminum.
Yeah.
It's a great, great company. And, you know, back to fats, people say to me, I don't eat fats. Well, the biggest source of PUFA are vegetables. And that's why I recommend people to drink fruit juice, not vegetable juice. Fruit juices and the potatoes with the white meat are the only foods that don't contain PUFAs. And so it's a joke to say I don't eat fat when they're living on vegetable juices and they're vegans, because all those PUFAs are in the vegetables. So I prefer the low-fat vegetables. Well, I eat carrots, but not carrot juice. But like squash and eggplants are really low-fat vegetables. So each vegetable has a different amount of PUFAs. And nuts vary, too. I love nuts, but I don't buy them. But I don't pick the cashews out of my Thai food. And the two lowest PUFA nuts are macadamia. Nuts have 3% PUFA, and cashews, which are my favorites, have 6%. But I only eat Thai food about twice a month. Too bad.
Too bad.
That's my story of fat. Eat fat. You know, Dr. Fife has a book, Eat Fat, Get Thin, but he's talking about coconut oil.
Yeah.
We have another audience question. Rima, the lack of what enzyme causes diabetes?
Oh, that's a heavy one. Okay. The enzyme connection to diabetes is fat, especially PUFA. However, the hormone connection to diabetes is hypothyroidism, because low thyroid people produce too much cortisol and three other bad guys. But cortisol raises blood sugar, can trigger seizures, diabetes, and hot flashes, and some people have all three. So that's how I treat diabetes. But just from my studies of biomagnetism by Dr. Isaac Goyes from Mexico, he has found 14 pathogens. I won't name them. They're pathogens, which can be a bacteria or a virus or a parasite or a fungus, that raise blood sugar that is not diabetes. And so, for example, 40 kids a day, I was shocked when I about fell off my seat when I saw this. It was on an ad in a restaurant. On a television, 40 kids a day are diagnosed with diabetes. And guess what? They get sick, the cortisol rises, they go to the doctor, without measuring insulin or cortisol, he pops them on insulin.
Wow.
I mean, the cortisol is high. He doesn't measure the pancreatic enzymes or insulin.
Wow.
And they get on insulin for the rest of their life. In one of my classes, there was a 10-year-old kid that walked in with his insulin pump, and guess what? Didn't have diabetes. Had one of those pathogens. The next day, his blood sugar was 88.
Lita,
wow.
So that's my diabetic story.
Lita, what's the relationship between cortisol and iodine?
I would say none. Now, let me qualify that statement. Iodine is in the thyroid glandular. There's T4, which means four molecules of iodine, and then through an enzymatically controlled reaction, one of those iodines are spit out, kaplunk, and out comes T3, which is cytomel, or triiodothyronine. That is the mechanism of making the active form of the thyroid hormone, which is T3 or cytomel. There's plenty of iodine in the thyroid glandular. There's no iodine deficiency in this country. On the contrary, a lot of people have too much iodine because iodine is used in a lot of processed foods. There is an iodine cult in which people are sucking hundreds of milligrams of iodine and taking more than 150 micrograms of iodine a day can greatly hinder thyroid function. And what worries me about this radiation thing is, instead of loading up the thyroid gland with glandular, which is safe, it's even safe to be slightly hypermetabolic, The longest lived peoples on Earth are 25% hypermetabolic. They don't die. They have good offspring, no defects, and they're happy because that's part of good thyroid function. But these people are guzzling like 400 milligrams of iodine a day. I get them when they can't get out of bed and they can't move because they have a melon-sized goiter on their thyroid. And this has been proven medically, but, you know, most things that most people read are written by ghostwriters. So, in other words, iodine will not cure hypothyroidism. A thyroid glandular will. And like kelp, I don't mind people taking a quarter teaspoon of kelp a day. More than that can poison the thyroid. So people are running around guzzling nascent iodine, which doesn't really exist, and potassium iodine, which is poisonous very rapidly, and iodine. And it's really a sad thing because it's not going to help them.
I want to ask one question, and then I want you to talk about ghostwriters because I know you have a soapbox on that, and I love you.
Three.
There is a product called Fuco Xanthine, and it's seaweed, and the advertisement is it will reduce the white fat out of your gut. And one of the things we have found is once that white fat is reduced, the stomach that you see so prevalent in diabetics, you know, the Humpty Dumpty kind of look, begins to disappear, and the insulin resistance begins to disappear. But I don't understand that relationship between the fucoxanthine, which is brown seaweed, and the diabetes.
Nor do I. I've never used it. I won't use seaweed products because I know I have plenty of iodine in my body. And cortisol, if you can get rid of cortisol, you can get rid of belly fat and diabetes and hot flashes. And there's an enzyme, not an enzyme, there's a steroid. Now, there's the most abundant steroid in the body is cholesterol. It's a steroidal alcohol. The second most abundant steroid in the body is pregnenolone. Pregnenolone lowers the evil cortisol, which is too high in anybody that's low thyroid, whether or not they're diabetes. They may have diabetes or hot flashes. But anyway, pregnenolone also repairs enzymes, and it's one of the few that pass the blood-brain barrier. I do not know the relationship of any seaweed to weight loss because you can overdo it, and then you get too much iodine.
Bioacoustically, and when we look at the numbers about cortisol, its nutritional antidote is sulfur. Can you explain any of that?
I noticed that too, and when I take voice prints, I noticed that it's a number based upon the molecular weight. So, like sulfur-containing foods, you know, like eggs and garlic and onions and stuff like that. I have a sulfur-containing enzyme that's good for knee pain, you know, knee problems. It has sulfur in it. It has glucosamine sulfate and MSM, but they're pre-digested, and you can certainly overdose anything, including MSM, and it does have side effects. I don't really know why that is so. Also, you can say that a progesterone has the same frequency equivalent as marijuana.
Yeah.
But I take progesterone and I don't get high.
Do you sometimes get the munchies?
Progesterone is one of the magic hormones. It's despite what the estrogen industry has been saying via ghostwriters and putting labels that progesterone causes cancer, it is the only hormone that cures cancer. Oops, I just used the C word.
Ooh, whoa, flag on the play.
If you look at the chemical composition of marijuana and progesterone, and really it's the active ingredient of marijuana, they are the same.
So it's THC that is the same frequency as progesterone?
Huh? Yeah.
Wow.
And maybe that's why some people smoke it, because they don't have enough progesterone. They don't really know what they're looking for. But there is some similar symptoms when there's overdose of each. Richard, didn't you say you have a knee problem?
Yes, I do.
Take osteo. Osteo is my sulfur-containing enzyme. It has MSN and glucosamine sulfate and enzymes.
So it has the enzymes.
There's other enzymes
that help
too, but
us break down the sulfur-containing and the glucosamine.
Absolutely.
Because I've always thought that was the issue with people who, because that was sort of in vogue, although it somewhat still is the glucosamine, the MSM, is that people are taking a lot of it, but it doesn't seem to have any benefit, and I always felt the issue was about assimilation.
Digestion, absorption, assimilation.
Yeah.
You have to have all three. Now, I, as I told you, I'm a Zumba addict, and I've had three injuries to my left knee and one to my right. Well, when my knees talk to me, I take my Osteo, and it works. It really works.
Wow.
We have another question from Wanda. Would you touch on familial diseases? Will I become diabetic because my family has a history of diabetes or any other diseases, including cancer?
You don't catch your genes from your mama or your papa or your dog. And there is a very popular new, I don't know what to call it, paradigm, I guess, whatever that means. And it's called epigenetics, and there are two groups. One is Bruce Lipton from this country. Another one is a group from Germany. And they proved over 20 years of research that genes do not determine health. It's epigenetics, which means above genes. In other words, it's how you think, what you eat. It's the cultural mores that embody each group of people that cause them to get the same disease. And also, I think you get what you focus on. And so I really listen to people when they say, my mama had it. I'll say, well, you know, genes are not contagious. Change your attitude and you'll change your life.
We're looking at proteins also, which comes right back to enzymes, that the proteins control the genes.
Right, and see, proteins, they're just a bunch of amino acids hooked together, but you still got to digest them. So people come to me, well, I'm taking my free amino acids. Well, guess what? The body cannot absorb them. A lot of people take synthetic vitamins and amino acids and a whole bunch of junk, and the body, they're literally, you know, Dr. Isaac Goy says, it's like chemotherapy. The body will only absorb what it needs, and then you're dumping the rest, and it's very expensive pee. But proteins must be digested as a whole food. And, for example, protein powders are really popular, but I do not recommend whey, soy, or rice for different reasons. Soy is the worst, but whey is high in tryptophan. Tryptophan converts into serotonin. Serotonin is very toxic, despite what the Prozac industry would have you believe. I use Great Lakes gelatin. It's a very pure protein. You can get a gelling kind. It has a molecular weight of 5,000. You have to digest it. And there's a non-gelling kind called hydrolysate, which they just reduce the molecular weight, but it's still 3,000. And gelatin is cooked collagen. It's a very pro-thyroid food. It protects you from the anti-thyroid amino acids in muscle meats. So what do? Strip the bones, strip the skin off the chicken, and throw them away. And so I recommend Great Lakes gelatin to protect from the anti-thyroid amino acids in muscle meats.
Okay, I'm looking at your products. Where is that?
Look under foods. Maybe I better go on. Now, the Great Lakes gelatin.
Search for it also.
Yeah.
Over on the right hand side there. Over on the right hand side, Sherry, that little box just to the right of the flame looking image. There's a search this site. The Aurora Borealis image is that little search box, and you could search for Great Lakes there. I bet it'll show up.
Let's see.
I want to add something in about when I think about our ancestors, and I really am only talking maybe a generation or two. Well, not my generation, not my parents' generation. Someone like my grandparents and beyond. There was a lot more farm-based cooking and a lot more people sitting around pots of stewed meats and
getting their collagen.
getting their collagen. I think that's part of what we're missing is that, I'm not saying everybody has to eat stewed meats, but I'm just saying that's another place where we've gone away from getting collagen sources because there was a lot more understanding from a I'll talk about from the culinary perspective. I used to be a chef. And that there's a lot of value in using the bones for mineral sources, for collagen sources, for flavor agents. I mean, there's a lot of good, juicy yumminess to be had from cooking all those parts, all the bones and the skin and everything, and using them, you know, for flavors, let alone all the health benefits.
That's why I like crock pots. You know, you throw the hunk of whatever it is in, come back home, and it's good. It's done.
I am waiting for somebody to do a Crock-Pot Food Network show. I just think it is a sleeper of a technology. I've always thought Crock-Pots were fabulous.
Because it's low temperature.
Yeah.
You know, so that's more healthy. The lower the temperature, the less the degradation, you know.
Yeah.
But
Since the last show, I see Sherry scrolling up on this one, and since the last show, or maybe the show before that, that you were on, Lita, I've actually been using and turned on a number of people, including some runners, to the hydrolyzate. Turned on to the hydrolyzate, like people who just ran in the Beta Breakers, which is a big run here in San Francisco, about 30 or 50,000 people, I forget. But a number of runners who've had knee issues because they're silly runners, and one guy in particular... I can't imagine. It's just never been my thing. So one guy in particular who was really, you know, he was doing some mountain biking and he was doing some running, mostly because there were cute chicks involved. And I just saw him the other day and he said since he started using the collagen, he really, really notices a difference on how his joints are feeling.
Well, I know because it works because that's our connective tissue.
Right, and
I'll
also,
tell you another thing
about that. He's a vegetarian. He eats fish, but he eats no other proteins besides
fish.
Well, fish
is quite good.
Yeah.
Most vegetarians eat eggs and dairy.
Yeah, he doesn't eat dairy. He's a vegan with a twist because he eats fish.
Well, you know, most endurance athletes are very, very, very hypothyroid, and especially the junk food eaters. And they run off the junk food, but then when they retire, they get a big pot belly, and then, whoops, here comes a heart attack. The heart conditions come from the high adrenaline of low thyroid function. So the diet that I use, which is called the prothyroid diet, it supports good thyroid function by eating protective foods like coconut oil. And it will actually prevent the diseases of aging, which are caused by the hormone impaired ratios of low thyroid function, which means cortisol, adrenaline, prolactin, those hormones, they're out of balance in low thyroid people.
Lita, we have another question. This is from Anita. What's the best time of day to take collagen?
Anytime you want. When I wake up in the morning, I make my smoothie with collagen. Some people will take collagen every time they eat muscle meat, but I'm too lazy for that. But I take a lot of collagen in the morning. I use the hydrolyzate. You know, why? Because it won't gel. I can put more in
it. I love the hydrolyzate because I just stir it into my, I'm always drinking water, and I'm trying to do it once or twice a day. I'm trying to do it twice a day, at least.
Well,
and
if I were you, I'd drink
the water and drink it.
I would use fruit juices, especially organic orange juice, and coconut water. You can mix them together. Those are much better than water. Dr. Ray Pete tells people don't drink water. Why drink water when I mean, everything is water. You know, when you digest something, another word for digestion is called hydrolyzate. Those little Pac-Men that chop up the molecules, and they put a hydrogen on one end and a hydroxyl on the other, and it becomes liquid. But you can't get the water out of the digested food. It's there forever. And so it's almost impossible, although a lot of people do have dehydration for one reason or another. But coconut water and fruit juices, especially the ripe ones, no apple juice or grapefruit juice, please. Those are both bad. But it's really more healthy to drink fruit juices and coconut water. And the worst water you can drink is distilled or RO water because it has no minerals. And I remember Dr. Goy saying once that if you drink distilled water, he has found people with brain cysts. I don't mean cancer, but cysts from drinking a lot of distilled water. And Dr. Pete says if you drink over 8 cups of water, it can raise prolactin, which is not good unless you're nursing. I'm not nursing.
Not so much. Not for years now.
Lita, okay.
Lita, is there an enzyme for parasites?
Parasites hate enzymes. This is not a joke, but it's funny. I tested one girl. I do this palpation test, or at least I did. But see, my clients are too far away now. They're out of state or country. But she said she palpated for an enzyme that has a lot of amylase in it. I use it for fungal infections, and it also has a probiotic. It's a very potent formula. I love it. And so she palpated for that, and I said, well, what's wrong with you? She said, I don't know. I just feel weird. Well, she took that enzyme, and 3 days later, she passed a 7-inch worm. And I had another client who said, I get these weird rashes with some foods, not with others, because, see, some foods irritate parasites, others don't. And he says, I itch. I have an anal itch, and I scratch, and I bleed, and blah, he went on like that. Well, I knew right off he had parasites, so I put him on 2 high protease enzymes, one between meals, one with meals, to digest the protein. Well, in 2 weeks, he had a big bout of diarrhea, which he's never had, and guess what came out? All the worms, and they were big worms. I'm telling you, parasites hate enzymes. Amylase does the same thing. I had a guy, or Dr. Loomis did, he had yeast in his lungs, and the doctors were giving him something horrible like cortisol, but he didn't get well. Well, Dr. Loomis gave him an enzyme with amylase and an enzyme for coughing, and he started coughing up that yeast and got well, and he stopped having bloody diarrhea.
We're getting all kinds of questions from email and the other chat. Andrew asks if there is a nutritional reason for reoccurring H. pylori.
That's a good question, and it's not well understood, but people who take in acids are prone to it because H. pylori cannot live in an acid stomach. So if you keep killing your acid with antacids, you're prone to getting H. pylori. Now, I've heard that you can get it from drinking water, whatever, whatever. But see, I only drink pure water, and I only eat organic food. So that's my H. pylori story. And people that have this, I have an enzyme. It doesn't have protease in it because people with that problem can't handle protease until their stomach heals. So I give them the stomach healing enzyme, and they get well.
So people should write to you and say, Lita Lee. It's Lita, L-I-T-A, at Lita Lee. I want to get this in before we run out of time here in just a few minutes. And say, this is what I have, and you'll set up an appointment with them. What happens?
Well, I try to get them to become a client. If they don't, and they really know what they want, you know, like I have an ulcer, I need the STM formula, fine. I'll give them a passcode, but the best way is to become a client because a lot of people misdiagnose themselves. The favorite misdiagnosis is, I have candida, it's in my brain. Well, yeast cannot live inside the body. If it gets inside the body, you die. So I have to be very careful because I really don't want enzymes to get a bad rap, and I don't like people wasting their money and then blaming me. You know, I took this and this happened. So I really monitor my emails.
Okay, here's another question from our email. I have a fuzzy, heady feeling head. Can you do anything about that?
Called brain fog or smog. Yeah, thyroid. Pure and simple. People with high estrogen can't even speak. I have women that are so high estrogen from low thyroid or taking birth control pills or whatever, and they open their mouth and nothing comes out. Now, ADR is good for brain fog, but to fix it, you need hormonal balancing, which I don't do except for clients. You know, Sherry, you asked me about ghostwriters.
Yes, I wanted to get to that, but there's one more question. We're going to go over time. I know we are. And so people get to hear all that recording. Fungus. Is fungus the same thing as what you would do for an itch or a worm?
It depends. I have small intestine and derm for skin problems. And a lot of times they go away without me even knowing what they are. There are over 1,200 fungi. That's what small intestine is for, because cellulite loves to eat fungi. But I also have derm, which is amylase. Other fungi succumb to amylase. So that's why I like to do the urine and talk to people. I have a 14-page health history that's very revealing if they tell the truth. And I can usually figure out what they have. For example, you can be sugar intolerant because you can't digest it or because you're eating too much of it. Well, how do I know? I look at what they eat. I ate 12 Twinkies for breakfast.
Richard, do you have to do a sign-off, and then we'll talk about ghostwriters?
Well, we have 4 minutes. I'll warn you when she's going to give us about 30 seconds, and then we'll do the break where we'll hear the music, and then we'll keep on talking. And if anybody on Blog Talk gets lost to the connection, the full show will be available in archives.
Okay, this idea of ghostwriters is absolutely atrocious. And Lita has the facts. Can you go with that?
There are 3 articles on ghostwriters. One of them is written by Dr. Bruce Fife, who exposed the soybean oil is good for you, but coconut oil kills you. Ghostwritten articles. And millions of dollars were spent on that. The estrogen industry has spent billions of dollars to declare progesterone a carcinogen because they're losing sales because people are realizing the estrogen causes cancer and a lot of other things. It kills the conversion of T4 to T3. I've got a whole section on hormonal balancing. It's the lady that's a ballet dancer. I have another one called Why Are People So Gullible? Well, I don't really know, but see, these people are very, very persuasive, and it actually is a true interview with a ghostwriter. And he won't give his real name. I can't remember what they call him. It was something funny. But he said, if I tell the truth, they'll fire me, and I get $100,000 a year to lie, so I'm going to lie. It's up to the person. Buyer beware. And then there's 3 articles all together in Ghostwriters.
Is this on your site?
Oh, yes. So yes.
I'm looking at the articles now.
Let's see.
There's also an amazing ad campaign. It sort of faded out when began to be some protests. There was that amazing campaign on TV about corn sugar being good.
Oh,
you mean high fructose corn syrup?
High fructose corn syrup.
Okay, let me tell you about that because this is very important. Number one, it's not the fructose because there's very little fructose in corn syrup, but there's another ingredient, I can't remember what it is, that's formed during the processing that's very toxic. Fructose is not toxic. How about that?
That's amazing.
So
that's why you should eat fruit.
Would pure maple syrup, would that be okay?
Anything that's organic, raw honey, organic maple syrup, organic sugar cane, stevia, agave, has fructose in it, by the way. I love it. You know, our state-of-the-art journals, medical journals included, TV ads, and on the web are 99.99% written by highly paid ghostwriters. I like the word ghostwriters because I don't like the word liar. But they're not paid to tell the truth.
I'm looking, and there's some in your newsletters, some things that came up. about
good. I bet.
But I don't see articles in particular about it.
About what?
Ghostwriters.
Oh, they're in articles. I'll have to. Environmental. I know they're there. I just have to find them. You know, I never go to my website.
So it's
that's
Lisa,
why I can't. What?
LitaLee.com.
Yes. LitaLee. LitaLee.
We have just.
It really was that fructose commercial was really astonishing, and what happened is that there was a huge amount of protest both in the tech world of Twitter. There was a lot of protest and a lot of ballyhoo about it, and then also on Facebook there was a whole ballyhoo about it, and then suddenly that commercial disappeared. I mean, it just went like poof, went away, because they obviously didn't realize, you know, same thing where they had hired people to obviously ghostwrite material to make it like all those things you hear about, you know, fructose corn syrup are really lies and it's just fine and everything's beautiful, and it's a classic commercial where you have the mother and the child and they're in a cornfield and there's lovely music and everybody's happy, and I prefer the
well,
version,
most,
you know.
Yeah, unless it's organic, it's going to be genetically engineered, for
yeah,
one thing.
They try to make you think that you're totally stupid if you believe the propaganda about corn syrup being bad.
Well, as I say, it's not the fructose, it's the... If there's an ingredient formed during processing, not to mention that probably half of it's genetically engineered. They don't say organic high fructose corn syrup.
I'm thinking at least 85% is genetically engineered, but that's just my attitude.
No,
yeah.
Corn is
well,
genetically engineered.
Just go organic. That's your only protection, not just from radiation, but from disease.
And
that is such an interesting point you have about the fructose, because it never made sense to me. I mean, I had heard that probably from you before, but it never made sense that fructose was evil, because if you're eating a piece of pineapple or you're eating, you know, an orange or you're eating, you know, a grapefruit, there's fructose in there. How can fructose itself be so bad and wrong when it's something that's produced, you know, in the amazing world of organic foods. Really?
That's correct.
It never made sense.
Like they say, don't eat fried potatoes because they have acrylamide. Well, guess where the acrylamide comes from? Not the potatoes, the PUFA.
Yeah, yeah.
So I fry potatoes all the time, but I fry them in coconut oil. Yeah.
Now, can you say what PUFA stands for again?
Polyunsaturated fatty acids. Omega-3 and 6 oils. Which are in all vegetables to various degrees.
Yeah.
That's why fruits should be emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Lita has just scratched the surface barely of what is on her website and what she really knows. Are you going to be appearing anywhere, Lita, so people can go see you?
I do a lot of radio shows. They can look at my picture.
And those are listed, too, on your site.
Yes. Richard, send me the links, and I will coerce Tommy into sending me the CDs, and I'll pop them on the website.
Oh,
yeah.
That is great.
And see, then they'll come back to you for all those FEs that they need.
Well, some things that we can't do with frequency. And we also think that if you use the enzymes and the frequencies together, you're going to get a much better response.
You're right.
We do both. And
yep.
We love Lita.
And I love you.
And we love Richard. People love his voice and his information. And you guys do a good show together.
All three of us. The dynamic trio.
Whatever that is. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not wearing leotards, but I'll be slightly dynamic. No cape, no leotard.
Well,
I just don't have
I'm going
right
to go to Zumba now.
Lita's voice and laugh sounds very, very young. And people are very surprised all the time at your age because of your dancing that you do. And Lita, are you willing to tell us how old you are?
I'm only 72 years young, and it's a number on a piece of paper.
awesome. Thank
That's
you.
That's so true. I think that is so unbelievably true. It's just a number on a piece of paper.
That's
I
right.
Think the same thing as that genetic boondoggle that everybody buys into. Oh, my mother had something, so I'm going to have it. And it's the same
right.
thing.
Wrong.
Oh, wrong.
From our chat room audience, it says, applause, applause. and the triumphal triumvirate, T-R-I-U-M-V-E-R-A-T-E. Moon said that, but I can't pronounce it. Triumvirate? Looks like it. T-R-I-U-M-V-E-R-A-T-E. What they're saying is...
Triumvirate. Wow.
What they're saying, Lita, is this is a wonderful show.
Well, it's because of you. Wouldn't happen without you guys.
Well, you're an incredible guest. And you are an angel, says Wanda. And Joanne says, awesome threesome. Great threesome.
Well, it's always so much fun.
It is.
Yeah, it's really great.
So much information, down to earth, usable information. That's what Lita is about, and
I translate chemistry into English.
Yes. And sometimes I forget that you are this PhD biochemist, because we have PhDs in here that just try to talk over my head, and I just love the plain language.
Good. Me
Excellent.
Speak plain.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
I can feel Lita's got her foot out the door on the way to catch the last half of the Zumba class.
Right on. Send me links, Richard.
I will. I certainly will.
Okay, thank you all. Lots of love.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
you
bye-bye.
Too. Bye. Bye, Sherry. That was fun.
What a great guest.
What an excellent guest. She is just fabulous.
And
you're right, that's really a thing that is so true about Lita, is that I forget that she's a biochemist because she actually speaks, you know, English. I understand what she's saying. It's really, you know, it's fast and furious information. I can't take notes fast enough. I'll be re-listening to the show. She's just a wanderlust of information, and she actually speaks it in a way that we can all understand. I love that.
And use it.
Yeah. Fabulous.
You know, she's been hit by the FDA several times and lived through it and came through it with flying colors, so that's why she's a bit cautious. And when they, I don't think they arrested her, but they certainly sued her. They took her time in court, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And what I don't think they knew is that her sister is an attorney, and her sister just really took them to task.
Yeah.
So Lita is very cautious with people, so be kind in answering her questions and let her know where you're coming from, because she's been through the mill.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always surprised that she hasn't been more, you know, persecuted. But she, as you say, she is cautious. But, you know, even so, it's an amazing, it's a, you know,
she has been persecuted. It took her years to get through this and over this, and it ruined her financially. She lost her property and her home, and she started again. And
Yeah.
She's a tremendous person for health freedom as well as wellness and health.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we support her wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Richard, for being a
part
of the show. You make my life easy. And there's so much less fear in my Sundays when you help do the show.
And for people, thank you very much. And for people who are still listening, which there could be people, I think, listening someplace, let's not forget about the guardiansofthepeople.com. This is that wonderful class this afternoon. I know, we forgot to announce that. We got so carried away. I was going to put a commercial in the middle and everything, and I forgot because we got so into it.
We're
talking about allergies this afternoon.
And we are opening that to the public. So if you don't have an invitation, if you are not a Guardian member, go to guardiansofthepeople.com or our other website, soundhealthoptions.com. We have lots of people left on the site, so I'll put this up here. Sound Health Options. www.guardianos.com. And you can look at the Guardian information there. But we are opening this particular class to everyone. Any of your friends, send me an email right after the show, sherryonair@gmail.com. We will be providing one software to you free, and that's Nano Voice, if you are not familiar with that. NanoVoice.org. Be sure to download the instructions. It does work on Mac, and we will be teaching you how to test yourself for allergies. It'll be a short introduction. We're going to be working more on how-tos with this class. So we'll be teaching you how to test yourself about allergies. And Madeline is saying, by the way, the last comment, the governmental agencies threat is their way that they use to destroy many people and products to stop them from succeeding in, yes, absolutely, Madeline. They are using the IRS with us, and we've been sued 5 or 6 times over the exact same thing. And each time we go to court, it's costing us $2,000 or $3,000 at minimum. And now they're trying to sue us again. We just got another letter on Friday for exactly the same thing. They're saying we didn't pay a tax bill. And we've proven in court already that they owe us because we've paid it twice. So they're using any method they can to keep us down. Read the information about the Hadron's Wall at Guardians of the People. There's articles there also on the GMOs that Lita was talking about. So if you want more information, just write to me at Sherry on Air, and we'll get you an invitation. Invite your friends. They won't get the same public software that you will get as a Guardian member. Contact me. Oh, all right, TJ, I will do that. So they won't get the software as the Guardian members, but you can go back and retroactively pick up your Guardians of the People organization. What do you call that? Membership. We are going to go underground, it looks like, to keep this going for people. So it's going to be word of mouth soon because of what's going on legally. So thank you, TJ. I certainly will get in touch with you about that. Let me write myself a note or I'm going to forget. And we certainly appreciate all of you being here. Richard, do you want people to be able to write to you too?
Sure. People can contact me at talktomeguy@gmail.com. Or they can also visit my website, talktomeguy.com, and see my latest rant and rave, which happens to be I'm talking a lot about bees lately because they're, you know, bees are indicative of so many conditions on the planet. But also there's contact information for me there as well.
Oops, I meant to send that to everybody, and I just sent it to you, Richard.
Yeah, I just resent. Thank you for sending me my email. Thank you. I'll repost that.
Okay. Thanks, guys. We're on again from 6 to 8 with the allergy program. That is Eastern Time. And if you want that invitation, please just Sherry on air at Gmail. And for those of you who are practitioners, and even if you aren't a newbie, there's a class at 2 o'clock from 2 to 4. For the newbies that just took the class in whatever month this is. Isn't that awful? I can't remember. It's May. Okay.
Right.
So we'll talk to you later.
Have a great day. Thanks, Sherry. That was fun.
Bye now.
Bye.